Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher, Boy Shasky.
Take it out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
What is happening on a Tuesday morning? A big day in this country, a big day in this community. Make sure you get out and vote. Make sure you get out and vote. I'm not telling you who to vote for. Just get out and vote. Make a difference. Try to make a difference here as we have a big day in America. I'm sure it's going to be a nice show tonight. But good morning to everybody out there. Get Dr. Graveyard Shift if you're at work. What is happening? All the cops, all the firefighters. Is it a big day for the overnight dancers on Election Day?
Maybe for some of the local candidates that lose.
What if he wins?
Monte, you know, one thing I've learned on this medium, not just from you, but just in general, if you pick a side when it comes to these things, just...
Politics? Oh, yeah.
It's just never ending.
No, you don't want to do that.
That's why today I'm rooting for America.
Yes.
As I'm wearing the USA soccer jersey.
Yeah, look at you. Don't even like soccer. You're wearing a soccer jersey.
As possible.
You're wearing a soccer jersey. You don't even like soccer. That is something else.
If I wore my red SF City hat or a Niner hat, people would interpret it that one way. If I'm not wearing red, though, it's just we've lost our minds.
I don't even know how to do a whole bunch of color schemes or whatnot. What if you just wear green? Green for money, because that's all we want is more money.
That's
more
a sacaroonie, baby.
I represent Wall Street, baby.
Shout out to our friends at Flowing Water Polemic and Drain. If you're going to call it to the roast, you better bring it, because if you don't, you'll be flushed. Brought to you by Flowing Water Polemic and Drain. I don't know why Spinoni would do that. Don't know why you would do that. This is going to BPA.
Number one BPA. Selling uniform in the NFL
that's
right now.
That's what really happens.
Not Ron Mexico.
Yeah. Kaepernick one year had to.
Ron Mexico's one of the greatest stories of all time, by the way.
Just shows how country.
You're 0 for 2,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, no, I threw that one with the
you
right hand.
You need to work on shooting with Draymond.
Yeah, no, with the right hand right there.
That's all right.
Right hand,
how
right
about
hand.
Mahomes throwing a left-handed pass last night?
Out of bounds? just to throw it away?
I felt like he did that one just to do it.
It's Mahomes.
God,
it's
I hate him. So good.
Do you hate BPA?
Brandon Palo Alto? Hey, I respect the hustle. What's up, BPA?
I mean, chilling. When you say, hold on. When you say respect the hustle, what hustle does BPA have?
Look,
what
he hustle? Cares. This is my setting
what
in
hustle?
Life. My setting in life is, do you
I'm
care?
Committed.
As long as you have passion, like, we could disagree on this detail or that detail or whatever, but, like, I respect your point of view because I believe that if you care and you're passionate, that means you've thought about it for quite some time.
So TC, Robin Sambruno, Tony, all our callers, don't they all have
passion? Well, Tony, yeah, I mean...
But she has passion. She does
yeah,
it
for psychedelics.
I'm right most of the time. I think it's a difference, right? But
you're anyway, not right. BPA, we know you're right. BPA.
Yeah, I'm right a lot.
No,
I'm right a lot.
No,
hey,
no
I'm
you're not.
Always right, and when I'm
no,
not right,
no, you're not.
When I'm not right, I own it, as you know, right? like you guys and Trey Lance and all that, right? So, I would say the Niners, the bye week nap that John and Kyle are on is indicative, as everyone else in the NFC is trying to get better, and in the AFC, John and Kyle are, sitting on their hands, which tells me they're not all in with this game. because this team, I don't care if McCaffrey's back at 100% or 90% or 80%, they're not good enough to, I mean, man, Detroit will gut them. I mean, Detroit will run. They may not even throw the ball once. The Niners, they'll just gut the Niners right up the middle. They have no one on the roster inside on the defensive line that can hold. And I'm right. You know I'm right, Vontae. You can laugh, but I'm right.
I'm just laughing. Yeah, I'm just laughing. Just, no, I can't get over the they're sitting on their hands sleeping through the bye week.
You know
what, like they're not.
You know what BPA does with his hands?
What does he do?
Pats himself on the back when he's right.
Yeah, I know. That's why he's going in. Are you going to the doctor right now? I heard you're getting hand surgery.
So I guess I'll point a question back, right? So you'd say you're liking the trade deadline sort of vibe.
It's not over yet.
You feel like they're geared up. Okay.
Yeah, the trade deadline's at 1 o'clock. What is Lynch done in the past at your trade deadline? Oh, he just got you Christian McCaffrey. Oh, he tried to trade for Chase Young. He did trade for Chase Young. He brought in Randy Gregory.
Yes.
I mean, the track record is there, BPA. They've made moves. They always make moves.
Well, I guess the bigger question is, does this team deserve for the front office to go all in on this year, I guess, is the question. He kind of alluded to it. Is that where you're going, BPA?
Yeah, I would say it actually might be the right decision to not go all in, right?
What's your complaint about that? Why are you complaining about them being asleep during the bye week? I mean, come on.
I'm good. I'm doing great.
Eight games in,
and they've not really – yeah, I know. So and if they're not all in with this roster – You know, this may be the end of this run with this group, right? Again, I'm right about that, too.
So. The end of whose run?
The sort of, you know, Kittle, Debo, the, you know, that group.
Okay, gotcha, yeah. Gotcha. All right. Just want to clarify.
That's my take. Yeah.
Why does he get under your skin so much?
He doesn't get under my skin. He says anything, and you love the guy. He says absolutely nothing.
When he said, I'm right, and you know it multiple times,
no, he's wrong all the time. He's wrong all the time. Do you know how many tweets he sent me? Bate, you're right. I was wrong.
Well,
I freaked out.
When he's wrong.
No, he's wrong all the time. That's the point.
This is what smart individuals in life do.
He's wrong. He's literally wrong 80% of the time. BPA.
Well, I mean,
and all he does is just rip people. I'm not here for that.
Of, so
he's not,
takes.
No, his takes are terrible. That's the point. You love the guy. You gas him up. He's talking about Lynch and Shanahan sleeping through the bye week. No, they're reassessing their team. Well, how can anybody come on these airwaves and rip Shanahan and Lynch for not making moves when all they've done is make moves in the past? I mean, these spoiled ass fans. BPA spoiled to say something like that. Come on, man. If you want to go to the kiddie table, talk to the kids. I'm going to go and leave the door, leave the studio, and wait for the grown folks to chime in. Because
like
that's just idiotic. It's just dumb.
Let me ask you this question.
Sorry.
No, but let me ask you this.
You let that fly. It's not cool. It was a terrible call. It was terrible.
Hustling
for bad takes is what BPA's doing. I'm not trying to rip the guy, but damn.
No, you did.
The guy's talking about he's right all the time and he's hustling for bad takes. That was a bad take. Should have flushed his ass.
Do you want this team to make a big move?
Yes, they're going to make some moves.
Okay.
And if they don't make a move, there was probably no move out there. But they should make a move for a D-lineman, absolutely.
I kind of go back and forth on knowing what their money situation is like going forward and knowing that you're going to need these draft picks, I think they can make moves around the perimeter. I don't know if a big move is like available
for them.
Well,
what's a big move?
I don't know, let's hypothetically, like a multiple one or two round pick over 2 years traded for an impact player. Like,
What if that player is Myles Garrett?
Okay, so for him, I would make an exception.
Okay, all right.
Right? For him, I would make an exception. I'm just saying, I don't know if there's a quick fix, I guess, is where I'm going at with this. And so if they don't make a move, I know there'll be a lot of fans that will be pissed. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I will be because, their finances are kind of rough moving mm-hmm. forward. And, I just think the move that they make needs to be a shrewd one. It needs to be book smart, and it needs to be thoughtful. And you can't necessarily give up draft capital. Because if you're going to pay Purdy something, okay, I don't want to get into the Purdy, but if you're going to, if you know that, you do need cheap assets on the outside. You need other people that are making very little. And then I want to keep D'Amino Lenore on this team because I'm looking beyond this year. Yes, I want to win it all this year. Okay, as unlikely as that may feel right now at 4-4 coming off the bye. But like, I want to pay D'Amino Lenore. I want to be able to, you know, give Purdy something. I want to be able to shore up my defensive line via free agency or whatever. Like, I do think that they're in a tough spot right now.
Well, if they make a move, I'm okay with it. If they want to go get a Clowney, I'm okay with it. They want to get another tight end, I'm okay with it. If they want to get another offensive lineman, I'm okay with it, because in my mindset, it's a year-to-year league. In the offseason, will play out the way it plays out. They'll make a decision on Debo. They'll make a decision on Dre Greenlaw. They'll make decisions on Hargrave. They'll make decisions on the rest of this roster. And if they want Brock to stay here, they'll keep Brock here. Now, I don't think it's going to cost the 49ers all that money to go get Brock Purdy. I think Brock Purdy, my gut tells me he's going to probably take a team-friendly deal because his value, like $60 million a year quarterback, not that. But I'm not saying he's a bad quarterback. He's a really good quarterback. And they're going to keep him because he's a solid, solid quarterback. But I do anticipate the Niners doing something because the NFC is right there for the taking.
I agree.
It's right there for the taking. All right, to your point about the Commanders not having experience, the Cowboys are done. You know,
I don't know what to make of Philly. I still fear them, but I understand people dismissing them, but I still fear them.
Philly's tough. Cooper DeJean is getting very, very he's solid.
They're young defense.
And they've basically won games without A.J. Brown.
And they've got what I believe to be a CMC-level player in Saquon, who is just, I mean, he's changed that team.
Yeah.
And Devontae, like, as the A.J. Brown injury is something to monitor, Devontae's really good. Yep. Jalen's playing okay.
Yep. No, I'm with you there. 888-957-9570 is the number. Do you want to see the Niners make a move tomorrow? Brian Baldinger said they should go call Dan Morgan, the GM of the Carolina Panthers, and go get Jadeveon Clowney. Is that a name that moves a needle for you?
So is he going to play outside linebacker or DN?
DN. And you just bring in Little Floyd. You know what? You could have a third down. Your third down package.
The NASCAR package.
You go Bosa, Leonard Floyd, and Clowney. Move Clowney inside on third down.
I've always liked Clowney more than the production. Like, I know that he doesn't have sack numbers. I thought he was really good for Baltimore last year.
Very good.
But Baltimore's also, that McDonald was excellent. And I think their front, they're just awesome. 99 is a stud. But I think he'd be an upgrade. I do. I think he'd be an upgrade. Leonard Floyd is just, I was expecting more.
Yeah, I was too. It's been a little bit disappointing. And I kind of think, is the scheme, does he fit the scheme?
I mean, he's just old. Let's go through some of these midseason grades, because I wrote down some grades here. I'll just start right there at defensive line. Like, we'll start on the defense. What do you think about the defensive line? Like, if you were to grade it out this year.
C-.
Care to elaborate on that?
Yes, I will elaborate. Bolts been really, really good. Okwuanu's been solid, showing flashes here and there, but
Undrafted, not consistent.
I haven't heard Malik Collins' name in quite some time. Hargrave's hurt. Floyd's been underwhelming. I'm being kind here. I'm giving the D-line a C-. McGarrett also giving up yards on the ground. You know, we talk about stopping the run. Minnesota ran the ball down their throats. The Rams in the second half ran the ball down their throats. Arizona had their way running the football. James Conner, fourth quarter, just, 5 yards here, 5 yards there. The D-line is disappointed, and I'm giving them a C-. I want to give them a D, but Bosa's been that good that I'll give them a C-.
Yeah, I have them at a D+, and the reason I have them at a D+, is because Bosa has been good. He's been the saving grace. Leonard Floyd, underwhelming. Hargrave is one of the top-paid guys on defense. He's making more than Fred Warner this year. Like, just say that out loud. He's making more than Fred Warner this year. He wasn't good when he played, and now he's hurt. I got them at a D+. I look at linebacker. Missing Dre Greenlaw has been huge. Fred's playing elite, like elite level. Like, Fred is the salvaging force. But, like, D-Winner's hurt. Little underwhelming, young. Obviously, Devondre Campbell. What would you give linebackers?
Fred Warner's been excellent. And he'll carry them to a C-plus grade. It's been Fred. Fred gets an A-plus.
That's what I'm saying.
But the other guy, Devondre Campbell, Tampa Bay's going to pick on him with Auden and Sterling Shepard. And they're going to look for number 59 saying, let's attack him. Is D. Winters back for the concussion?
I don't know about that. We can ask Cam in a little bit here.
I'm giving him a C-plus.
Okay. I'm kind of with you, and I think Fred completely keeps this from being a D or an F. Cornerbacks.
B. Deommodore Lenore has been excellent. He's been an all-pro, all-NFL player. Tre'Davious Ward has struggled through injuries. There's no doubt. Now he has a tragedy to deal with. Shout out to him and his wife, Monique. I'm praying for them. If they could get through this, it's going to be tough. Renardo Green has popped. He's flashed. And he's been a welcoming sight at cornerback for the 49ers. So I'm giving the corners. I'm giving the corners a B.
So I gave him an A-, and it's because of Deommodore Lenore's play. It's just some huge interceptions from him, Renardo Green. I know Yadam earlier this year was getting like picked on, but I feel like they've made some moves. I'm giving them an A-. To me, that's the best unit on the defense right now. And then I go to safeties. What do you make of the safeties? It's been all over the map.
Safeties. I go C+. But this is a grade that I'm willing to... Hufanga was not good.
George Odom?
George Odom, not good. I mean, 97, 98-yard touchdown, Justin Jefferson, press, but I can't get over that. I give him a C+, because I do think Malik Mustafa and Tig Brown are starting to get better. They're starting to work very well together. I want to go B-, but I'm going to give him a C+. This is a big game for them on Sunday against Tampa Bay. Big game against them. The rest of the way to hell. The safeties, they got to be balls out. They got to be lights out here in the run game, in the pass game. So I'm going to give them a C+.
Yeah, I got the same exact grade. And I just look at the defense as a whole. I put C-.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to do anything higher than that. The defense has, and I feel bad because I feel like the defense has carried this team for so long. This is the first time in a long time where I don't feel confident in the defense in its totality at all. And yeah, I think the absence of Dre Greenlaw, I knew he was important. I knew he was really good. I didn't realize he mattered this much. And I'm sorry, Dre. My bad.
Yeah, Dre, well, he needs to be back. And even when he comes back, my expectation for him is not high because it's going to take a while to get back to form, to shut off the rust. Usually when you come back from these injuries, whether it's an ACL or Achilles, it takes you another season to get right. So he's going to have to go through another all season and through training camp to get right. He may never be right again. That's the God's honest truth. We saw Navarro Bowman, how his career ended. He just was never the same. You could not play him on third down when he was a Raider. Hell, when he came back with the Niners, you could not play him on third
down.
You're
so right.
I mean, he was We loved him. But he was plug the hole in the run game, leave the field on third down because teams will attack you. So I don't know we talk about the expectations of Christian McCaffrey. Well, what's the expectation for Dre Greenlaw? I don't know what to expect.
I'm honestly not expecting much, quite frankly. I'm looking at the offense. All right, let's go offensive line. Where do you got the offensive line?
I'm going to give the offensive line a B. I'll give them a B.
We're in unison there. Dominic Pooney's been awesome. McKibbitz ain't great. Brendel ain't great. They haven't cost you massive games. No,
and Trent's been better than the way we talk about him. We want him to be perfect, but Trent's been, he's been really running in the form. This offensive line hasn't been bad at all. B.
Wide receivers.
Oh, my gosh.
Juwan has had a monster year, but he's hurt. And obviously, Debo up and down. Pearsall had a nice game. Yeah, Ayuk, think went well.
I'm going to take the easy road out. I'm going to give them an incomplete.
I like that.
I'm going to give them an incomplete.
I had a C-, so
yeah, I'm going to give them an incomplete because Juwan Jennings, he's played 6 games. But really, you know, you look at his game log here over the last couple. He hasn't played, obviously, in a while. That's against Seattle. He had 3 catches, 27 yards. He had 1 catch for 13 yards against Arizona. Really has tapered off since that game against New England. Ricky Pearsall, we haven't seen him yet. We haven't really seen him.
This is one of the most expensive position groups in football.
We know what happened to Brandon Ayuk after what happened in training camp with Brandon Ayuk. And now he's gone for the season, and he's got a torn ACL, MCL, and meniscus damage or it's sore. So he's not, he's out. Debo's been out. I'm going to give them an incomplete.
Okay.
Can Cowie get Ricky Pierce all pop? I heard Evan Givings, what was it, Saturday or yesterday, saying that by the end of the year, Ricky Pierce may be their best wide receiver on the team. He may be wide receiver number one. So let's see it. So I'll give them an incomplete.
I got to give him a couple of weeks before I'm ready to say it. But I'm not saying that either. I love that from the youngster, Evan Giddings. Running backs. I got an A-minus. Considering CMC's out, you had Jordan Mason with like 600 yards, and Isaac Garendo had a monster game. I feel like you've done pretty good considering you're missing the best player on the team.
Yeah, I'll give it an A.
Okay.
That's all I need to say. Garendo's been better and better and better. Mark Mason's running hard. I give him an A.
All right, I'm going to
go. That includes Juszczyk, too. I think Juszczyk has had want to cloud Juszczyk, Juszczyk has been really good for the fullback position. So the running back room gets an A.
I got tight end at an A-.
All right.
It's
Kittle.
It's pretty straightforward for me. You know, Saubert is whatever. You know, but it's Kittle. And then I get to quarterback. How you rating Brock Purdy?
A-.
That high?
Yep. I'm giving him an A-. And I've thought about this long and hard because, as we mentioned with the wide receivers, no training camp for Ayuk. We try to find a rhythm with him in the regular season. He connects with Juwan Jennings. You look at his yardage. He's thrown for over 2,000 yards. Now, I get the touchdown passers are down, but without Christian McCaffrey, missing Debo multiple games, and having Debo leave a game early, having George Kittle miss a game, I think Brock Purdy's been really, really good. I've been very impressed with his command of the offense, been impressed with the way he's been a leader on his football team. And look at him. Despite not having these weapons, he's eighth in the league in passing yards. All right? And a lot of these quarterbacks that are ahead of him have played 9 games. Brock has only played in 8. The touchdown passes are down. There's no doubt. 10 touchdown passes, not good enough to have to throw 31 touchdown passes. The interceptions, what did he throw, 11 last year? A little up this year, there's no doubt. There's no doubt Brock Purdy's thrown some picks. He's thrown 7 picks so far, but I think Brock Purdy with his scrambling ability, learning the command of the offense, making throws when he needs to make throws, I'm going to give Brock an A-.
I wrestled with this a lot. I wonder how many people agree with you on the A-. I really do. I wonder that.
Probably
because,
not a lot.
No. I think it's a fair assessment. I gave a B, and the reason I gave a B is because there were a couple of games where I just thought that he didn't see the field like he is accustomed to. And then there was the multiple turnover game that just did them in, the red zone interception. And I'm judging on his own excellence from last year. Like, if this was just standard quarterback play, I think I would rate it higher. But I'm rating him on his own Brock curve. Like, he has set his own bar. And so, to me, like, that factors into it. And I look at, like, what Baker Mayfield did with no weapons last night, even though they lost that game. Like, there's a way that it's got to look. I got Brock at like a B plus in that area. But I just look around B, and I'm looking around the whole league, and I would love to throw this to the audience. We're gonna have Cam Inman on in a minute. The Raiders, New England, the Jets, Cleveland, Tennessee, New York Giants, Saints, Carolina, Dallas. Even if you struggle at quarterback or you struggle at head coach or both, you're doomed.
Yeah.
And I look at the Niners this year, and like, Brock's been all right, and yet they're still kind of mediocre, right? They're struggling to stay afloat. Brock has to play excellent, and Kyle's got to coach proper. Like, I know these are obvious things, but like, for them to be considered legitimate, like all these other teams in the league that we consider to be, you know, the legitimate contenders, it's quarterback and head coach. And we could talk all about O-line and defensive players, and yeah, they're going to all have to make plays. Quarterback's got to play lights out, and the head coach has got to be on it.
And I think Shanahan, if you ask me a grade for Shanahan.
Yeah, what is it?
I know they're 4-4. I'm giving Shanahan a B+/A-. I think Shanahan has been really good this year. I think so. It's up to the players to execute. All right,
but does special teams fall under his jurisdiction?
Because
I got an F for special teams.
Well, special teams gets an F, but you look at what's happening on special teams. Malik Mustafa loses contain on the punt team. All right, you don't have the punt safe on. The Rams convert a 4th and 6 on a punt fake to get back into the football game. Arizona had a big kickoff return. Special teams, yeah, sure, he oversees it, but that's all Brian Snyder, too. Shanahan can't do anything. I'm looking offensively at the play calling. Play calling, I think, has been solid. The red zone walls has been a problem, but that, I think, has a lot to do with Christian McCaffrey. And there's some things we can nitpick about Kyle Shanahan. But you look at their record at 4-4, should be 6-2. Roddy Bell, catch the damn ball. Jordan Mason, don't fumble. All right? Come on, let's go. Brock Purdy, don't throw two picks against Kansas City. I'll give Shanahan a B+ / A-.
Wow. Yeah, I'm not going that high. I'm going to go. He's a straight C for me. Yeah. And the only thing that's salvaging him is all of the litany of injuries, considering how top-heavy this team has been. Because to me, the special teams has to fall on someone. And I do believe that, like, you've had three kickers. And you're actually not bad at kicking. Every other facet of special teams has been almost atrocious. It's cost you games.
But doesn't he get credit for having guys in and out of the lineup?
No doubt.
And try to navigate this offense. You don't have Christian McCaffrey. Debo's missed multiple games. You don't have Brandon Ayuk. You're out there in Kansas City playing the Kansas City Chiefs, and you got Jacob Cowie, and Ricky Pearsall, and Roddy Bell playing wide receiver. There's not even a Juwan Jennings out there alongside George Kittle. So I think Shanahan has done a great job of holding this together, and I get it. It's not a popular grade. It's not a popular grade at all because Shanahan's an easy whipping boy. But I'll give him a B+ for this year so far.
I think it's interesting that that's how high you're going. And I get what you're saying. We do overly criticize Shanahan. I just think if Kyle was looking himself in the mirror, I think he'd even admit, like, I haven't been as on my P's and Q's in certain areas.
See, I think he has. I think the lack of execution is really doing the 49ers this year. We're afraid to give players heat.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Left 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
And say players need to execute? But that to me is the problem. Execution has been, and yeah, you could say it falls on Shanahan, but you put in a game plan, you expect the play to get run correctly. What do the players get blamed for?
Let's talk about it on the other side, because I think you bake in his own personnel obsessions can play into that.
Cam Emmon coming up here from the Bay Area News Group, and it is brought to you by Safeway.
Hey, it's Brian from San Ramon. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky, 95.7 The Game. Shanahan, run the ball.
Gordon Baldy, they need to pass the ball a little more. They need to get the passing game rolling. 888-957-9570. I guess instead of doing grades, it seems like the most controversial grade is the Shanahan grade. I gave him a B+/A-. A lot of people are saying C-C-C-C-. 669 is telling me to shut the hell up.
Possibly.
You're wrong. You're being a homer. Hey, just trying to be a realist. It's how I feel. It's my grade. I'm giving it out. I'm the teacher of this class. Let's go to Clark the Shark. Clark the Shark. What's going on, Clark the Shark? Clark the Shark, going once. One ready to roll. One ready to roll. Sipping that soda water, man. One ready to roll. Call's not good. Contact Floyd Water, plumbing and drain at floydwater.net. Let's go to Bobby in Los Altos. Bobby! Good morning, Bobby.
Hey, good morning, fellas. I just want to say thank goodness I was waiting in the McDonald's drive-thru line when you gave your Shanahan grade, because otherwise I think I'd have gotten in a car accident. So I don't understand, Bonte. What is your baseline for giving that guy an A-? Did you come up with that grade after you watch Todd Bowles make the most stupidest coaching decision of the year?
B+.
Because that guy, okay, B+. Dude, his play calling is so vanilla. It's so vanilla. That guy is the definition of a C this year. I can't believe B+. That Like I said, just thank goodness I was waiting in line at McDonald's.
Well, hopefully you got some good hash browns and a sausage McMuffin. But by the way, Bobby, I wouldn't take you as a McDonald's guy. I thought you, like to eat a little better for yourself.
Oh, my dude. Hey, dude. Ain't nobody in the Bay Area has more McDonald's points than Bobby. All right. I'm here every day, brother. You know how many free McChickens I could redeem with my points?
They have a point system at McDonald's now?
Oh, see, you're so high class. Are you hanging out with Molly and Festus?
No. You know what happened to me, Bobby? In college, I read Fast Food Nation, and I watched a movie of a guy who ate McDonald's for 30 days straight. And it had an impact on my life. Had it supersized me, yep. It had an impact on my life.
Brother, I've been eating McDonald's like probably 12 years straight every day, and I'm okay. Well, at least outside. Inside, I'm probably dead. But can I just say one thing? So since we're kind of doing a review of the season, of the season thus far, can I just say one thing, please? I know a lot of you callers try to come hard, spin some bars, and whatnot, but I'd like to add a little class to the morning roast, and I'd like to say a quick haiku for my favorite must-watch play of the Niners thus far.
Please.
So here we go. Heat-seeking missile. Get down fast. Chicks coming quick. Malik Mustafa. My boy is must-watch. I know he gets a couple memes, unfortunate memes, but he has been my I can't take my eyes off him when he's on the field. He is incredible. I don't know how long he's going to last doing what he does with himself, with his body. But, man, that brother is entertaining. And I just hope he stays healthy for the rest of the year.
All right. Your haiku is in nomination for Poem of the Year. Poem of the Year. 888-957-9570. Anybody has a problem with my B-plus grade? I'm sure some of you watch Shanahan fired anyway, so you'll probably spit out your coffee. B-plus for Kyle Shanahan. Taking all the variables of what's happened this season. Trent's not...
He's a high-level loser, bro.
Oh, boy. High-level loser.
Who do you think is the greatest 49er to ever wear number 6?
That's random.
Because that's Malik Mustafa's number.
Yeah, he might be, because that number is usually a punter.
Well, I mean, Joe Nedney is right currently probably the greatest to ever wear that number.
A kicker, yeah.
But Nedney was good.
Yeah, no, he was good.
But Malik Mustafa does have a chance here.
He does have a shot. He has a shot.
I'm with him. Malik Mustafa has been a revelation.
All right, let's get to Cam Emmon. Cam Emmon, Bay Area News Group, been covering this team for a long, long time. I know, Spadoni. I know. You're getting like Sam Lovin here. Cam Emmon joins us on the River Islands guest line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. This is the time for you to discover the islands, River Islands and Lathrop. Cam Emmon. Good morning, Cam. How are you?
Good morning, my friends. Do I hear you were doing number 6 jersey history?
Yeah.
Yes.
You know that there's a guy on this team that wore number 6 before Malik Mustafa did?
Danny Gray.
Well, but did he really play much? Mitch Wischnowski won it for a few years.
Yeah. So. Mitch has had a couple of uniforms.
Yeah, you got Danny Gray. I got this sheet in front of me if you really want to go back to the Jose Cortez era. Matt Kavanaugh, the backup quarterback we all love. Yeah.
So. Was Mike Kofor number 6
yes,
or number 9?
Mike Kofor was number 6 for 13 years.
Yeah. Wow. He lasted 13 years, Mike Kofor?
That's crazy.
That is insane. Super Bowl winning.
You know what his nickname was, right?
Yeah, I don't want to repeat it. I don't want to say that. I don't want to. Did he miss a field goal in Super Bowl 23 against the Bengals?
Yeah. Let me ask you, Cam. Yeah. We've been just throwing out grades, okay? And like, we know it's a quarterback head coach league, and it's deeper than that. We understand there's all these different elements to it. If you were to give the head coach and the quarterback a grade, what would they be for the first 8 games?
C. I mean, the record is 4-4, so you're average, right? Some people want to flunk them. Some people want to say, wow, but they're doing really well with all these obstacles. I'd say it's a C. And, I mean, you could even go C-minus because you expect more out of a team that's the reigning NFC champions, and you got basically all your offensive players back intact. You still got a lot of stars on that side of the ball. But they're also producing. I mean, it's not like they're not putting up yards. They're just not getting in the end zone as much as they should. And they're just trying to compensate for a lot of defensive breakdowns and a lot of special teams issues.
Yeah, I gave Shanahan a B-plus because of all the obstacles and the lack of execution by players. But we can spitball. You know, a lot of, like you said, a lot of people just want Shanahan fired. You see those tweets all the time. Oh, just get rid of this guy, which is asinine. Christian McCaffrey returned to the practice field yesterday. Were you able to see him cut? Was he able to do team drills, individual drills? What did you see from Christian yesterday?
Okay, so yesterday is kind of, it's called a bonus practice, which is like a Friday. So the Mondays and Friday practices when they have them, all the media is allowed to do is go out there, see that these guys are in uniform, see them stretch for about 2.5 minutes, maybe 3-4, and then we're out of there. Monday's especially brief. So basically go out there, you see McCaffrey warm up, and he was running pretty well, and he looked like he was testing his cuts. He looked like the Christian McCaffrey of old. But when it comes to in practice stuff, we're not allowed to see after training camp, so it's hard to judge. But what I can say is, he looked like he is ready to go, and it doesn't look like he showed any hesitation. Looks like he's been chomping at the bit for the last month to get going on this season, and. Today's a trade deadline, and the Niners are going to get the best player available, and that's going to be Christian McCaffrey.
How do you think he's being utilized? And it's week one, obviously. Because this injury is just, for Warrior fans, like when someone says Achilles, you know what I mean? Like, we instantly get triggered because we all remember KD doing the dance and looking amazing and then all of a sudden just snapping his Achilles. And I even think of Dre Greenlaw, who's had the calf injury for so long. And so it's hard to feel good about him just returning and thinking that he will sustain. How does this play week one?
You know, now that you say that, it makes me more, because we always think that, well, he's going to get eased in, right? You don't go full steam ahead with somebody. But if you're starting and stopping, doesn't that put more stress on the muscle or kind of, you know, can calm down or something? I don't know. I'm not a doctor, so I don't know how it would be. But I mean, go back to when he came 2 years ago, and he just came in right like 2 days before the Niners played the Chiefs, and he split some time, right? He didn't get the full load. He became the starting running back the next week in L.A. I could see them, you know, like slowly going into this, like rotating him and Mason, but at the same time, you know, Bobby Turner, the running backs coach, he goes with the hot hand, and if McCaffrey's grooving, you're not pulling him out, and it's just how it is. And if he gets the clearance to play, then he's playing. I just don't see them, and it's really going to be hard for them because obviously you don't want to overextend him these first couple of games. You're halfway through a season, and he's got to get on board here. But I guess he's just got to feel it out. Christian knows his body so well, right? And it's unfortunate that like the calf flared up on him through training camp, and they did the right thing by shutting him down so that he could not run and overextend himself during rehab. So he looks good. But it's a great story to see how it's going to unfold on Sunday. Listen, I would assume he's playing in Tampa on Sunday. But it's all going to matter of how does he respond Wednesday and Thursday. Thursday is going to be the biggest workload. And then Friday you're going to see, okay, did he have any pain flare up because of Thursday's extended workload? So I don't think anybody's going to be able to tell you a hard truth whether he's in or out until probably Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Wow. And then there's always a question, as you were alluding to, Cam, how do the carries get divvied up? What happens to Jordan Poole and Isaac Garendo? Speaking of which, what's the status of Jordan Mason? Because we know he had a shoulder injury.
You said Jordan Poole, Warriors
Jordan
guy.
Poole, excuse me. Jordan Mason. Say. Did I say Jordan Poole? Oh, my God, Jordan. I'm in basketball mode right here. Watched Jordan Poole last night. Mason. J.P. Mason.
There you go. Mason.
Jordan does.
Here's the other thing. But Jordan Mason is, what, like 3 weeks removed from a shoulder sprain, right? So it's like the fact that McCaffrey's coming in right now, that's why it's like some things are aligning really well where, okay, you can kind of give Mason some rest as McCaffrey gets going here. Garendo's on the ascent, but at the same time, he's still really young. Missed that blitz pickup last game, so you got to worry about that. How is it going to be divvied up? I don't know, but I just don't. They're not a team that's going to like split three running backs.
Right.
It's usually going to be one guy. Maybe. The thing with McCaffrey is he's such a great receiver and creates mismatches on defense. And to me, that's what they really miss on this team to make the offense whole. And you know, we were talking with Purdy yesterday at his locker, not officially, but just kind of shooting the bull with him. And when we're saying, what was it like having McCaffrey back? And he's just like, man, when I went to hand off, he was like a turbojet. Like, whoa, he's already going. And Brock had that smile on his face as if, and I said, it's a you complete me thing, like from Jerry Maguire. And he seems so like content and happy. And like, it's a good space for them right now.
Is Debo okay?
Debo, we didn't see at the start, but Debo often comes in a little bit later once the stretching gets done. So, you know, he had the wrist and he had pneumonia, so it was cause for concern, but he was in the locker room hamming it up, so he looks fine. So I don't think there's any issues with Debo.
Juwan Jennings, who's been out the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
What's up with him?
I talked to Juwan at his locker yesterday. He's a guy that he doesn't like doing a lot of media right now. So he comes in, gets dressed, and jets out. And he was going to go do some more physical therapy on the, it's a muscle inside, like the lower torso, like hip area, that he's going to be working through. But he was running on that field yesterday, and it looks good. So I think he's going to be playing. I just don't know how much they want to overextend him. So I think that's really good that they got Ricky Pearsall to go with Debo and Kittle. It's not a full strength in that receiving core, but if you get Juwan Jennings back this week, I would think he's coming back this week. All signs point to it.
We started talking about Malik Mustafa, number six, and all that. I just think he's a really fun player. I know he's going to miss some plays. He's going to over-pursue. Mm-hmm. But I'm looking at him and Jair Brown. I mean, I haven't felt this good about the tandem of safeties in a long time for the 49ers. Like, I think they've got something with these two young players. And even if Talanoa does return, I kind of want to see what I've got in Mustafa here. I think this is a big stretch while he's out, Talanoa Hufanga is out, for Malik to kind of solidify himself.
Yeah, I'm guardedly optimistic because, like you said, it's a rookie. There's going to be growing pains. There's been growing pains with Jair Brown over the last year where it's like, okay, this guy gets it. He's a good hard hitter. He has a good knack to finding some interceptions when the balls are floated out there, but there's also some communication errors that you can't have at safety. The fact that John Lynch is your general manager and he's a Hall of Fame safety, I think John knows who to play back there. So I got a lot of trust in that. But Mustafa sure is fun to watch because he has that, I don't want to say reckless disregard for his body, but it's very much Dre Greenlaw-like, right? Where it's like you want a defensive guy that's going to hit somebody, do it within the rules, but also be able to make some plays. And Jair Brown's done that too, so I'm not knocking him. But Mustafa is, he's raised eyebrows ever since, was it the preseason opener in Tennessee? Or it was either the first or second game. And, you know, we talked to him after, I mean, we see him in training camp, but then he had the first game action. He was like, who is this guy? We go talk to him, and really pleasant young man who's a lot of fun. He's going to have a good career, and he's, it's kind of weird that, I mean, Diamondo Lenore is having a tremendous season at cornerback, but the Niners' best defensive back might be a 5'9" rookie safety.
Huh. Interesting. Ken, before we let you go, was Bosa in the locker room yesterday? He's played really good football on the field, but obviously he made a lot of news for a hat he was wearing after, you know, the Cowboys win and the postgame interview with Purdy, Kittle, and Garrido. Anything to that? Has that kind of lost his steam, that whole situation with Nick Bosa?
We did not see Nick yesterday in the locker room. He was on the practice field. He was wearing a regular helmet, and he did have the Guardian cap over it. You know, I just get the sense that Nick, obviously everybody knows his political beliefs. That's not news. And the fact that today's election day, it was a hot topic. It could have been a much hotter topic if he wanted to elaborate post-game on it. And I think for Nick, him showing off the hat was more playful, and rather than doing a contentious, you need to vote for my guy kind of thing. And I think he understands that politics and sports, it's not really the place for it at a certain time. Some people can disagree, and that's great. That's why we get to go vote today. It's a beautiful country. Mm-hmm. Will it blow over? You know, the NFL could reignite this real fast by saying, hey, we're going to suspend, or they're not going to suspend him for the hat. Could they fine him? Yeah, I think it's just in the rule book that they fine him. But, you know, those fines came out Saturday and they didn't do it. So the fact that you're delaying it till after the election, it just kind of leaves a bad taste in my mouth of, you know, well, what are you doing? Are you going to enforce this right away or not? And if they don't fine him, okay, freedom of speech. But there's also rules that's written in the rule book. Did they have to, you know, remind everybody beforehand? Maybe. I mean, there's a lot of ways you can fight it. So I just don't see Nick Bosa continuing on a political grandstanding tour for the rest of the season. I lived that in 2016 with some other stuff. I think Nick Bosa is more focused on sacking the quarterback, and it's Baker Mayfield on Sunday, one of his favorites.
Yeah, no doubt about that. No doubt about that. Go out and get the book, The Franchise, written by Cam Emmon. Niner, it's available right now. A curated history of the faithful. The book is out right now wherever you go to. All bookstores, right, Cam? All bookstores or Amazon?
Hit up Amazon or hit up Cam, or go to caminman.com or just DM me on Instagram. We'll get you a personalized copy. And there's no chapter on Jose Cortez or Mike Cofer, but there's stuff.
I'm going to it right now. All right, I'm going to order it right now on Amazon.
There it is.
All right,
there
thanks, it boys. Is.
Have all a right, good one, buddy.
Okay, you too.
Cam Emmon, River Island's guest line. Of course, all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Island's guest line. Is it a time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Doing Graves for Shanahan, Graves for Shanahan. We got Mike Florio coming up next hour. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, to talk about the latest he's heard when it comes to trades. Who's available? Who's not available? Who's in the mix? Detroit, they shot their shot. They got Za'Darius Smith over for the Cleveland Browns.
That's what I said.
To help. Yeah, we've come a long way since then. Come a long way. What's that, about 4 years old now? 4 years old.
And then when we met him at the Super Bowl, Bonte couldn't wait to run me over with the Mack truck.
No, actually, that was the other way around.
What are you talking about? You love came running up. You're like, no, it was him.
Love it. Love it. Come on. Love it. Be the voice of reason here.
Let me try to remember. I mean, all I remember is that when I shook his hand, he smiled and was happy to meet me, and that's what I took away from that.
All
so.
I remember is he was happy to meet me,
and ain't nothing you can do about it.
See, I told him, Mike, hi, I'm Sam. I'm the guy who's texting you to come on this show, and he said, oh, it's very nice to meet you, and it was a very pleasant exchange, and then, I don't know, maybe you guys ruined it or something.
No, he looked at me, shook my head, and goes, oh, yeah, I recognize the voice. Yeah, that's you. I didn't have to do anything. I don't have to run anybody over.
He asked us, who was the guy who said I talked too much? Then you immediately took it into Chef.
Yeah,
that guy right there.
I did throw you under the bus with that one.
Now
no, I had to. I had to. I had to call 311 on you. I wasn't going to wear that one. It was him. He's
it
okay.
It makes me very uncomfortable. I mean, I felt like I was in the middle of a clue game.
I was uncomfortable.
It was Mr. Shasky in the studio with the microphone.
No, because
he's the one who did it.
No, Mike Shasky trying to be all nice and, oh, hey, Mike, I love what you do, man. Thanks so much for joining us, man. Our audience really loves you, blah, blah, blah. He starts smooching, and Florio kind of, who's the guy who told me I talk too much?
Oh, did I get fooled on that?
And Florio was really quick to ask that question, too. Like, as soon as he saw us, like, he had that question ready to go.
But like a stand-up dude, I acknowledged it, I wore it, I smiled, and we shook hands, good.
You made an impression, whether it was good or bad.
Exactly.
You made an impression on Mike Florio.
Absolutely.
Is that a badge of honor?
Mike's a great guy. Amazing journalist.
Is he a journalist or a reporter?
He's both.
I just want you guys to talk about me the way you talk about Mike Florio.
And he's a narrator of great books and an author.
He's got a lot of books.
Yeah.
He's got a third one coming out.
I was thinking I should write a book. I don't even know about what. But everybody writes books.
Oh, I'm writing a book.
About what?
Oh, my career, my life.
The Bonte Hill King's Tale?
Yeah. Oh, that book's coming out in about 20 years.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of people getting thrown under the bus in this book.
A lot of Mack trucks. Okay.
How expensive is that book going to be?
Oh, it's $19.99.
That's make it a lot for a book.
We'll make it affordable.
Wow.
$20 a pop.
Wow.
That's what you mean.
Wow.
For my story? Story's worth $1 million.
He's going to be at the Bay Street in Emeryville, the Barnes & Noble there, doing signed copies.
Knowing Bonte, he's going to be like, hey, does Sigwood Records have a book department? And I'd like to have it, be under the E40 label.
It'd be at Neiman Marcus. I'll be there signing books. I go big.
With a Gucci cover.
I go big.
He went $20, but I also go big.
Exactly.
Which one is it?
Well, he said it was expensive. Mr. Three Houses over here. Look. The $20 book is going to be phenomenal. It's going to be worth $1 million.
He's going to have like the audio book. We'll have Chris Mullen narrating it.
Nah, maybe not.
It certainly won't be me.
Forward by Kyle Draper.
Yeah. Forward by Kyle Draper.
By the way, I saw Draper yesterday. Draper's filling. Oh my gosh, he is filling himself. No, I'm going to have, not only that, we're going to do a spinoff too and do a little documentary on top of the book. So you get the book and you get the documentary.
Who narrates the documentary?
I better be interviewed in this documentary.
I'm thinking big business.
Who's going to be the narrator for that documentary?
Probably Steph.
Haven't got there yet.
Are you kidding me? The mosaic of Bonte's life? It's going to be Uncle Marty.
No, it won't be Marty. Might be Draymond Green.
Oh, that would be, come on. You couldn't pay him enough.
Shot, you talking to me?
There's no way Draymond's doing that.
Festus Ezeli could be a good narrator for this.
I'm just picturing a Last Dance type where you got Bonte sitting down on the chair wearing the camo shorts and like Jordan with the brandy in his cup.
And I took that personally.
You hand him the iPad and it shows him the first week of episodes from the Morning Roast.
When
it was three of us and he was like, come on, give me a break. And he like flings the iPad. Butcher. I mean, come on.
The flex moment of the show. I had no problem with the flex moment of the show.
Oh, that's good stuff. This is even better. 650, Comcast Business Text Line. Mark Willer can't write a book called Talking While Others Are Talking, and a sequel, How to Talk for 3 Hours Straight. Poor Dibs not getting touches, man. I went up there to Thrive City last week. I was like, Dibs are talking a lot right now. My daughter never tells me to change the station because Mark Willer's always talking. Then she hears this, she's like, all right, Papa, that's enough. Play Frozen.
That's enough? She's waving the white flag?
She's waving the white flag when Willer passes the
mic.
That's
not fair.
I was in need of Frozen.
By the way, did we find out what happened to the 49ers helmet in the studio?
Still MIA?
It is.
Is it gone?
I'm legitimately disappointed in that because that came from my grandfather. That's from Kezar.
Oh, come on, God, man.
Like, that has sentimental value to me.
Oh, my God.
When I
God.
Bring things into the studio, this is why I'm hesitant
hey,
to bring
not nice, man.
Stuff into the studio and, like, let it be a part of the infrastructure here at 95.7 The Game. Because, like, it's, man.
Fingers, man.
Just went missing. Who takes stuff from the studio?
It's a bit missing.
Like it grew legs and walked away.
Just jumped out the window and just disappeared.
And someone literally like went on the elevator with a helmet that wasn't theirs.
I know.
Like,
walked
this
out
is
here.
Mine.
And then walking down the street here on Kearney with a helmet.
Do you think they like wore it out of the building just for fun?
I don't know.
What should the title of my book be? You got a book. What would the title of your book be?
Mine?
Yeah.
311.
3-1. That's good.
That is really good. What would the book title be for the 49ers this season? Oh, the 2024 Niners. Oh, look, he loved it. You can hear him through the mic. Oh, there, that's a good one. He's like, damn, I don't have to do nothing
Bonte
today.
Bonte did have a good question.
Love it. Does that do anything? Like my book title?
Running uphill.
That's actually not bad.
That's really good.
Oh, baby, the tales of a well-rounded individual.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
That is incredible. That Daniel Day-Lewis wants to be in that one.
Forward by the Overnight Dancers.
Oh, my goodness.
Forward by Precious. Diamond. Mercedes.
Oh, that's so good.
That's probably the dedication, right?
What was your title? What would the Niners title be for this season? Inconsistency? Red zone woes?
Oh, man.
Shanahan with the exclamation point? Shanahan!
Probably just that.
I like that.
When special teams aren't special.
That's good. That's good.
Or you could just do special with quotation marks. Team. Special team.
It is funny, though, whenever a team has a run, a bunch of people that cover the team for a handful of years all start writing books.
Oh, it's great. You know how many people made money off the Warriors? Marcus Thompson wrote 2 books.
Two?
Ethan Sherwood Strauss wrote a book.
Yeah.
Who else? My boy Danny LaRue wrote a book.
No.
Kyle Cubby's got multiple podcasts. Plus minus. What? Slater doesn't have a book yet, but he's elevated. There's a couple people who, for some reason, the Warriors went on this run, and they just kind of stayed where they're at. It's kind of fascinating to me. Didn't move up. Kind of moved down. Didn't move up. It's just like, how? Warriors won 4 championships. Hell, I even got a job on television working with the Warriors.
They're saying that the name of my book should be Pivot, Don't Panic.
The 510?
No, that didn't hit.
That's not a funny title. That's like a title you would actually
exactly.
Use.
Yeah. Well, 510 says Joe Shasky's autobiography would be Flip Flip Frisco.
It's all right. As the only individual in this studio that lives in the city, I will take that to the bank.
Oh man, I grew up in the hardest city. Stop playing. And I will never live in a city again. Not with these prices. Not with the way things are going. I like San Bruno. I like the peninsula. I like, something new and fresh.
San Bruno Bonte.
Burlingame Bonte soon.
The king needs a castle. And you know, Burlingame
Bonte. Burlingame Bonte soon. By the way, it was at the Bruce Mahoney game Friday night at Kezar. Shout out to SI. Shout out to Sacred Heart.
Sacred Heart wearing the worst uniforms I've ever seen.
No, they were good uniforms.
No, you have gold pants that were classic, iconic ones in green. You should have stuck with them.
It's a new generation. But I ran into the quarterback who's a big roaster.
Oh.
A big roaster. Not only the coaching staff, but Michael Sargent, the quarterback at Sacred Heart, had himself a damn good game. You know my guy? I like him because he's a junior and he's cocky. He's got that arrogance that I need from a quarterback.
Okay.
You like quarterbacks with a flip fold. I want quarterbacks with two folds and gold chains. That's how I roll. My guy, Michael Sargent, looked. He goes, Bonte, thank you for supporting Brock Purdy. Enough with the slander. Then he goes, how'd I look today? And you know what he looked before I could even say anything? He goes, did I look like a young Brock Purdy? I said, you damn right you did. Keep up the good work. Michael Sargent, eat for free over there at Cathedral Hill for today. Free lunch on Coach Evans. St. Ignatius. Hodge. Mr. Hodge. Or excuse me, not Mr. Hodge. Mr. Hogan. Six touchdowns. WCAL record. Wow. Six touchdowns into Bruce Mahoney. Mr. Hogan. You ballin', boy. You ballin'.
When you assess the 49ers' first eight games this year, are you baking into the preseason predictions and what this team was assembled to do? Are you judging it on a curve, given the injuries and who's been out? Like, how are you assessing these grades when you're looking at where the team is today?
Everything that you just said. Injuries, guys who have been in and out.
So if I had said to you at the beginning of the year, before we knew anything about the CMC injury, hey, you're not going to have anything really from Ayuk all year. Mm-hmm. CMC won't play any games. You expected them to be better than 4-4 or right at 4-4?
5-3, maybe. 5-3. You blew some games that I didn't expect. The way you blew the games, the Cardinals game, I didn't see you're up 23-10. Cardinals run the ball down your throat in the fourth quarter. Didn't see that coming.
Has the defense, in terms of the new coordinator...
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported, 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.